Amen. I appreciate that. I appreciate those songs. I appreciate the singing. I thank the Lord for that today. What a blessing. What a blessing. Let me mention just a couple of things, and then I'm going to read my scripture. We do have several things by way of request I want to mention to those that are listening outside, to those in here. I do want to remind you to pray for different ones. Tarnell, we'll see the doctor tomorrow, and they're hoping that they'll move along to the next thing where they'll put a cast on her foot, and that way she can begin putting weight on her leg. So you ask the Lord to oversee and have and meet the needs of her heart. She is healing and all of those things, but you know, Tarnell, she's not one to stay down, and she's ready to be able to do something. So you ask the Lord to help there. Continue to pray for Jan, asking the Lord to continue to help her in healing. Also for Kai, he is at home. He is still getting used to having the oxygen and those things, but feeling okay. If you noticed on our prayer request online that during all of this that had gone on, they found that the cancer is in his lungs and now, and it is stage 3 cancer in his lungs. So they have all of that going on as well that he's dealing with. So ask the Lord to help there. Continue to pray for Linda Davis. I checked with Ronnie last evening, and he said that they had put off her doctor visit this week, and so they'll be rescheduling that. So she still has the boot, and her foot is healing. So ask the Lord to continue to help her. For Holly, she is going to be taking treatment starting again. She'll have one on June the 10th. Skip a couple of weeks, and then we'll start again with one every week. That'll go on into the month of August. So asking the Lord to help her. And then for Randy's father, he will see the doctor this week about a place they found on his lung, and they'll be checking that. So ask the Lord to help there. And Joyce Pritton, she in falling and hurting her shoulder and breaking her collarbone, also has a broken finger. And they will be working to set that doing surgery on Wednesday of this week. So ask the Lord to oversee in that. And also Jim saw the doctor Thursday, and they're setting up an MRI on his leg and his hip and those things, trying to figure out exactly what's going on there. So they'll be scheduling that. So ask the Lord to help and to touch in all of these things. So to remember that. And then all of those that we have on our prayer list, asking the Lord to help and touch and meet the needs of their hearts, their lives. If you have your Bibles, I ask you to turn with me to Luke chapter number 19. To Luke chapter number 19, I want to read starting in the first verse of Luke chapter number 19. In Luke chapter number 19, starting in the first verse, it is a very familiar story, and I want to read it and share with you some things the Lord has on my heart for this service today. In Luke chapter 19, and starting in verse 1, the Bible says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was called to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. And for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That is reading verses 1 through 10 in Luke chapter number 19, that which the Lord has placed on my heart for our thinking this morning. Let's bow a moment for a word of prayer. Adam, would you lead us in prayer?
Yes. Lord, thank you for salvation, for the cross of Calvary, for dying for us and saving us when we've done worthy and undeserving of the Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for another privilege to be back in the house, Lord God. I pray that you'd help us not to take it for granted, Lord God, of what you've blessed us with this church, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that you'd ever touch the scriptures been read. I pray that you'd bless it, Lord. I pray that you'd help our pastor, Lord God, as he tries to expand what you've laid upon his heart, Lord God. I pray that you give him the wisdom and discernment that he needs, touch his voice and his body, give him the strength that he needs there, Lord God. I pray that you give us hope for a second chance, Lord God, that we may ever take it and use it, Lord. I pray that for every one lost here in the midst of us, Lord God, or one who hears the message, Lord God, that don't know you in the free form of sin, Lord, we pray that you'd ever convict them, you'd ever draw them and save them, Lord God, before it's everlasting too late, Lord God.
Yes, Lord Father.
You'd ever help us draw closer unto you, Lord. Thank you and praise you for everything he's done. Tell you we love you, Lord, because you first loved us.
Amen. I appreciate the prayer. The last statement that Jesus mentions or says in the text in verse 10 is a clear-cut explanation of why he came to this earth. He says in verse 10, For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. In other words, the reason Jesus came was to save sinners. That's why he was here. That's why that he came. He performed many miracles. He came and many of those miracles are recorded in the Word of God. But the miracles of Christ are only secondary. The reason that he came was to seek and to save those that were lost. And the reason that he made that statement, the reason that he says what he did, is because of what has just happened in the saving of Zacchaeus, but also what is about to happen in the following verses of that yet to come. You'll find that Jesus' actions were criticized, and they always are, and they were in this story and in this text. They criticized him for going to the home of Zacchaeus. They criticized his ministry. They misunderstood his purpose and his plan. But he says it plainly that he came to seek and to save those that were lost. And everywhere he went, that's what he did. He spent his ministry seeking and saving sinners. Why? He sought them by the Sea of Galilee. He sought them sitting around the dinner tables. He sought them in various opportunities, preaching. Even one time, sitting in a ship. And now, in our text, he is seeking a sinner that is up in a tree. But Jesus is always seeking for sinners to understand the setting of the story. You really need to go back to chapter 9 and verse number 51 in the book of Luke. In that verse, it says this, "And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." In other words, the time was now come that Jesus realized it was time to head to Jerusalem, and there he would be crucified. So from that point on, he was on his way to Jerusalem. So then, in chapter 18, in verse 31, he says it again, "And then he took unto him the 12, and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished." Jesus again says, "I'm going there to be crucified." But now in our text, the Bible says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho." He is still several miles from Jerusalem. He is still on his way, headed to Jerusalem to die. But he passes through Jericho. Jesus always has a reason and a purpose in everything He does. So now, Jesus passes through the city of Jericho. But there is a reason and a purpose. There is a man named Zacchaeus in Jericho. There is a man that needs salvation. There is a man that even though Jesus has a destiny at Jerusalem, there's a man named Zacchaeus that needs salvation in Jericho. So Jesus enters and passes through Jericho. I'd like to preach, if I can, for just a little while on this thought of when Jesus passed through Jericho. When Jesus passed through Jericho, I want you to notice, first of all, the truth about Zacchaeus. The truth about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is one of those individuals that just flashes across the pages of Scripture like a shooting star. He is one that we only for a moment see Him and then He's gone. This is the only portion of Scripture that talks about Zacchaeus. It is not that we see Him again and again, but it's only right here that we meet Zacchaeus. But Zacchaeus, his name that his mom and dad gave him, he's pure and innocent. It sounds like that when his mom and dad named him, that they had a lot of hopes and dreams for Zacchaeus. Of them naming him pure and innocent as they held that little boy in their arms, thinking, and no doubt this little pure and innocent baby, that he is going to turn out to be somebody wonderful, somebody great, somebody loved by everybody. But Zacchaeus has a problem. You say, what is problem of Zacchaeus? Well, it's seen in his position. Bible says that there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. You see, in that day, a publican was a tax collector, the most hated among all the Jews, because they were considered a traitor among the Jews. They were a group of people that were looked at as selling out their nation. They lined themselves up with the Roman government. They lined themselves up to extort their own people. Just say the Romans would find these individuals and incorporate them to take taxes off the people of the Jews. They would say something like this: If I put it in American dollars, that what you can do is you tax them. All we ask for is $1,000. But you can tax them whatever you want. And all you owe us is $1,000 and you keep the rest. So the publicans, they would say, you owe the Roman government $2,000. They would give the Roman government $1,000. They'd keep the other $1,000. So it says he was rich. And that's how he got rich. Off the backs of his own people. But he was more than just a publican. It says he was the chief among the publicans. You see, the Roman government divided the land of Israel into three taxable regions. There was Capernaum, there was Jerusalem and Jericho. And Zacchaeus was over Jericho. So he was chief among the publicans. So here was a man despised by all of the Jews round about him. So here was this man, Zacchaeus. But his problem was not just involving his position, but it involved the emptiness of his life. Because with all that he had, he was still missing something that all his wealth couldn't satisfy. Because he sought to see Jesus, who he was, there was something missing on the inside. He heard about Jesus passing by through Jericho, and he wanted to see Jesus, who he was. Can I tell you something? That a man can have all the trinkets and all of the things that this world can afford. He can have all of the popularity. He can have all of the things that he thinks can satisfy in this life. But if he doesn't have Jesus, his life's empty. His life's empty. And that's where Zacchaeus was. This man, Zacchaeus, had a good upbringing, no doubt. He had money. He had all that life could afford. But he didn't have Jesus. And that's what he really needed in his life. Jesus put it that way in verse 10. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's where Zacchaeus was. He was lost. I remember one time years ago, I've only been deer hunting just a couple of times in my life. But the first time that I ever went deer hunting, I went into an area with some fellas that I'd never been before in my life. And they put me up in a tree stand before daylight. And they said, when it gets a certain time, you come down, go a certain way, and we'll come by and pick you up. And it got daylight, and I come out of the tree. I had no idea which way I was supposed to go. And I started wondering, and I was lost. And I want to tell you, that's the most scared feeling that I ever had. I want to tell you, that's a terrible feeling, to be lost. I want to tell you, that's where this man Zacchaeus was. That's the truth about Zacchaeus. But secondly, I want you to notice the truth about Jesus. The truth about Jesus. It says in verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, when I look at the truth about Jesus, I think about the coming of Jesus. I realized the first thing was that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, but he entered and passed through Jericho. Just say, what all about that? If you go back to the Old Testament, if you research Jericho, God put a curse on the city of Jericho. Jericho was the place of the curse. Hang on to that thought a minute. Jesus did not have to get to Jerusalem through Jericho. He could have gone another way. But he went through Jericho, the place of the curse, going to Jerusalem. Can I just say that Jesus came to the place of the curse, to this old earth, on his way to the cross? He didn't have to come this way. He didn't have to do what he did. He didn't have to pass through Jericho. He didn't have to go that way. You say, why? Because there's a man named Zacchaeus that needed salvation. I thank God today that he came to the place of the curse, because there's a group of people that needed salvation, needed redemption. And he went on to Jerusalem and paid the price for our sins. I thank God that he went to the place of the curse for you and for me. So I think of the coming of Jesus, but then I think of the compassion of Jesus. In that verse 5, it says Jesus came to where he was and he looked up and saw him. You see, when Jesus looked up and saw him that day, he saw a man in his sins. He saw everything about Zacchaeus that day. He saw a man that was wrecked and ruined by sin. He saw a man that desperately needed salvation. He saw a man that was despised by those about him. He knew everything about Zacchaeus that day. There didn't need to be anybody to point out Zacchaeus and say, Jesus, don't you stop and look at that man. He's a despised publican. He's a despised man. He's betrayed our nation. He's betrayed our people. Don't you spend any time talking to that man. Jesus knew every sorry, low-down thing about Zacchaeus. Before Zacchaeus invented in verse 8 everything he had taken wrongfully and was going to restore rightfully, Jesus knew every sorry, low-down thing that Zacchaeus had done. And he still loved him. Could I just remind you that he knew every sorry, low-down thing that you and I had ever done. And he still loved us. He still loved us. Thank God for that kind of grace and that kind of compassion. As I studied this, I thought of the old song Tony Rambo wrote years ago. Said he looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. Sang it so well. I'm glad that he did. But I also see the calling of Jesus. Because Jesus called him by name. He said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. He called him by name. I know and I believe that Jesus knew everything there was to know about him. That nobody needed to tell Jesus who he was. Nobody needed to tell Jesus anything about him before he ever came into the city of Jericho. Jesus knew all there was to know because he came to seek and to save that which was lost. But I want to run a second thought about this to you. I just want a thought. You know me. You know how I imagine a lot of things. You know how my mind gets carried away. I just want to run a thought by you. Do you realize in the disciples of Jesus, there's another publican that got saved? His name was Levi or Matthew. He was a publican. Do you realize that among publicans, the only friends they really had were other publicans? So more than likely, Matthew and Zacchaeus probably knew each other. It doesn't tell us that, but they very possibly knew each other. When Matthew got saved, Mark chapter 2 records the story that when Matthew got saved, immediately after being saved, he had a dinner at his house and invited. Who did he invite? If you could read it in Mark chapter 2, he invited a bunch of publicans because that's who his friends were, publicans and sinners. So it's very possible. The Bible doesn't say it. I'm just imagining. It's very possible that Matthew knew about this man, Zacchaeus, who was the chief of publicans at Jericho. In my imagination, I wonder, could Matthew have said, Jesus, we're on our way to Jerusalem. I know a man named Zacchaeus through back years ago when I was a publican. Would it be possible to go by? He needs to meet you. He really needs you bad in his life. Would it be possible to go by maybe and just let him meet you? I don't know that. This is me. You say, preacher, you're just speculating. I am. But you know what I think about that? I think about it like this, and no doubt there was somebody in my life that went to him in prayer and said, Father, I've got a son named Tony that really needs to meet you. He's just a little boy right now, but oh, he needs to be saved. Would you get a hold of his heart and would you touch him? I had some good godly grandparents. Maybe one of them said, Lord, I've got a grandson named Tony. Oh, would you not let him die lost? Would you get a hold of his heart? Would you pass by his way one day and save him by grace? And maybe that's one of the reasons the Savior passed by in compassion. Touched my heart. That's just a thought that ran through my mind. I've said something about the truth of Zacchaeus and the truth about Jesus, but I want to say something and leave this with you, and I know I'm taking a little more time than I intended to. The truth about the situation. You see, here was a man that desperately needed salvation, and here comes the Savior into the city of Jericho on that particular day. You see, I'll be the first to admit that I can't fully understand all the workings of God in the lives of people. But it's amazing to me how God so arranges and designs things that He does. But what I know is this, and what I believe is this, that this wasn't an accidental encounter. That it just didn't accidentally happen that Zacchaeus happened to be at Jericho that particular day. That Jesus just accidentally happened to walk through Jericho that particular day. It just didn't happen that way. I believe it was divinely designed by God. I believe that God's hand was in all of it. I believe that Zacchaeus had to make the choice of what he did, but I believe God had Zacchaeus at the right place at the right time for Jesus to pass by and Jesus to say, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down." But Zacchaeus had to make the choice. I believe all that. Jesus said, "Make haste." That means don't delay. Jesus said, "For today." That means this very day. If you put it all together, He's saying, don't delay. Today is your day. You see, that's the truth about the situation. That was Zacchaeus' day. If you study the Scriptures, you'll come to understand Jesus didn't pass through Jericho ever again. That was it. Within a week, Jesus was going to be crucified and He would die. He was never going to pass that way again. That was it. I said that because you never know when it's going to be someone's last invitation that they'll ever hear and that they'll ever get. I want to say this and I'm closing, and I'm serious. I'm as serious as I've ever been and ever will be. There's a lot of opinions and ideas that are going around about the COVID-19 pandemic. I've heard a lot of the ideas, heard a lot of things, and I'm not here to promote any idea. You can come up with your own opinions. I have mine. I have some that I have, and I can't say my opinion's any better than anybody else's. I don't know. But I can tell you what I believe, and there's what I believe. I believe God's hand is in all of this. I can't say I understand all that that means, but I believe that God's hand is in all of this. And I can believe that I can tell you that I believe that God has used it to reach people, to save them. I could tell you the story, and I'll relate it just a little. I can tell you the story about a preacher I know in Wilkes County. I heard him relate the story myself, heard him relate it. About a lady that had visited his church and she was lost and she came down with the COVID-19. She ended up in the hospital and she had gotten so bad they were going to put her on the ventilator. And he told the story how that the doctors told her, "You need to be on the vent or you're going to die." And she said, "I'm not ready to die. I need to call the preacher." And they helped her call this preacher. And she said, "Preacher, I need you to tell me how to be saved." And over the phone, he told her the plan of salvation. And she accepted Christ. She said to the preacher, she said, if I live to get over this COVID-19 and I can get out of the hospital, I'm going to come to your church when I can. She died the next day. I could tell you the story that I've read, and it's a fact, about a 20-year veteran of the New York City Police Department who was quarantined. He was afraid he had been exposed to the COVID-19 and was afraid he's going to die. And he caught on the internet on Google, and he said the words, Siri, how can I be saved? And it popped up the Billy Graham Association website. And he went on to it and caught on a chat. And they told the lady, he said, I'm scared and I'm lost. And I'm afraid I'm going to die. And she led him to Christ. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I have not only heard those stories, but I've heard of others that through this COVID-19 pandemic, of how that God has used it to touch the lives of people that they may not have otherwise gotten saved. The deacons and I were talking the other week, and one of them asked and just asked me sort of my thoughts about some of this. And I made the statement, I said, this all has such an unusual feeling to it all. And I even made the statement when I met with the board of directors of the camp meeting yesterday, and they agreed. I said, I can't help but wonder if God is making a last call to our world for salvation just before the coming of the Lord. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. You say, preacher, that's just your opinion. It's just my opinion. But I'm telling you, we better be ready. Better be ready to meet the Lord. Because He could come today, and it could be another 10 years. I don't know. But I'm just telling you, Jesus is coming. And I really believe it's a whole lot sooner than we believe it is. And we think it is. I'm telling you, Jesus passed by because Zacchaeus needed to be saved. The Lord put this message on my heart today, so deeply, so deeply. It may be for somebody in this building today. It may be for somebody in the parking lot. It may be for somebody who will pick it up in a house sitting that just happened to tune in and hit it on the radio. God, give the extended distance that they might hear it. It may be somebody who just happened to hit the website or the YouTube channel to hear it. I have no idea. But if you're not ready to meet the Lord, I ask you to give your heart to Him today. I said we're not going to sing as far as a congregation, but I do want them to come to the piano and organ. And I would like for us to stand as we end the service and bow our heads. Because I would like to give you an invitation, if there is someone in this building, that if God's touched your heart, and you need to be saved, this altar is open for you to come. And if one would come.